It is Thursday, February the 14th, the feast of Saints Cyril and Methodius. Let's ask for their help this morning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, you brought the light of the gospel to the Slavic nations through Saint Cyril and his brother, Saint Methodius. Open our hearts to understand your teaching, and help us to become one in faith and praise. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And since it's Valentine's Day, we'll pray an act of love. Oh my God, I love you above all things, with my whole heart and soul, because you are all good and worthy of all my love. I love my neighbor as myself for love of you. I forgive all who have injured me, and I ask pardon of all whom I have injured. Amen. Saint Cyril and Methodius, pray for us. And even though it's not technically his feast day, Saint Valentine, pray for us. It is a better way to start your Thursday, the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Matt Swaim, Anna Mitchell's Got News, Paul Lockman is pushing buttons and calling guests. And up this hour, since it is Valentine's Day, Mark Doust will be along from CatholicSingles.com to talk about rom-coms and the distortion of love that we often get in those romantic comedies. Liz Lev will talk about Saints Peter and Paul and Catholic art. She's, of course, the author of How Catholic Art Saved the Faith. Dr. Matthew Bunsen will be along, and with the news that Cardinal Menzenti is now a servant of God, that's pretty special for Dr. Matthew Bunsen and his family, because he's got a personal connection to Cardinal Menzenti that we're going to discuss a little bit later on. Plus, Kevin Prendergast will talk about conflict resolution in marriage, which I think everybody should be taking notes on that if you're a married person. Even if you've only been married for like a week, you need the info. Even if you've been married for like 55 years, you need the info. It's 2 minutes past. Here's Anna Mitchell with news.
Good morning. The House and Senate could vote on the budget deal today. The bipartisan compromise would avert another partial shutdown as one quarter of the federal government runs out of money at week's end. The deal ensures funding for the entire government through September 30th. It includes far less money, though, for border security than President Trump has been demanding. Trump is reportedly leaning towards signing the bill to avoid another shutdown. But he is making another pitch for a massive border wall. Mark Mayfield has the story.
Speaking at a conference of sheriffs and police chiefs in D.C. yesterday, Trump again argued there is a national crisis at the U.S.-Mexican border.
So much crime comes in through our southern border. Illegal immigration provides a lucrative cash flow, to put it mildly lucrative, to some of the most dangerous criminal organizations on the planet.
Meantime, Trump said overall levels of violent crime are dropping in the U.S. He also repeated a call for the death penalty for cop killers. Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
Mississippi could soon have the most restrictive abortion law in the United States. State lawmakers approved legislation yesterday that would ban most abortions as early as 6 weeks into a pregnancy upon the detection of a fetal heartbeat. Governor Phil Bryant confirmed that he would sign such legislation. If he does, it is expected to face immediate legal action from the pro-abortion camp. The state Senate in Ohio also introduced a heartbeat bill earlier this week. The Bishop of Covington, Kentucky, Roger Foyes, has announced that an independent investigation has exonerated the students of Covington Catholic High School who were caught up in a social media firestorm after an encounter with a Native American activist outside the Lincoln Memorial after the March for Life. In a letter published with a link to the full report on the front page of the Covington Diocese website, Bishop Foyce said the inquiry has demonstrated that the students did not instigate the incident. He said, quote, "In truth, taking everything into account, our students were placed in a situation that was at once bizarre and even threatening. Their reaction to the situation was, given the circumstances, expected, and one might even say, laudatory," end quote. President Trump says people in Venezuela are starving amid the ongoing crisis in the South American country.
You have many, many people that are in really trouble for just hunger. And so we are delivering and we're sending tremendous amounts of food and other things, supplies.
During a White House meeting with the president of Colombia yesterday, Trump cited executions in the streets of Venezuela. The U.S. has recognized opposition leader Juan Guaido as the legitimate president of Venezuela. Trump has repeatedly called on President Nicolas Maduro to step aside. And the Birmingham Oratory, which was founded by Blessed Cardinal John Henry Newman, has released the details of the miracle approved yesterday by Pope Francis, which is paving the way for Cardinal Newman to be canonized. The miracle occurred in May of 2013 in the United States when an expectant mother suffered from unstoppable internal bleeding, which also threatened the life of the unborn child. The statement says, quote, she had long been a devotee of Blessed John Henry, and in prayer she directly and explicitly invoked Newman's intercession to stop the bleeding. The miraculous healing was immediate, complete, and permanent. End quote. Of course, no date for the canonization of Cardinal John Henry Newman has been announced at this point. But, Matt, I think the speculation is sometime in the Easter season.
Well, that'd be pretty cool. You know, since this is both of Cardinal Newman's miracles have involved Americans.
Which is pretty awesome.
Which is pretty cool. So actually, when Deacon Jack Sullivan had his back miraculously healed, and that was miracle number one, mm-hmm. we actually talked to Deacon Jack on the Sunrise Morning Show. I wonder if this mother would be willing to come on.
Find this mother. Do we have her name? I'm looking at the press release right now. I don't think her name is
We can figure it out. We can do some digging. We know enough people
we'll
who know enough
find
people.
Find her. If you're listening right now.
If you're listening right now.
Please give us a call. Shoot us an email. Send us a Facebook note. We would love to talk to you.
We're kind of big on Newman around here, too.
Yeah, we are. Today is Thursday, February the 14th. As Matt said, it is the feast of St. Cyril and Methodius. But some other people might be celebrating some other saint's feast day, kind of. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. It's 7 minutes past the hour. Back with us on the Sunrise Morning Show is Mark Doust. You can find him over at CatholicSingles.com, an underwriter of the Sunrise Morning Show. Good morning, Mark. Welcome back.
Good morning.
So this is the time of year, you know, love is in the air with Valentine's Day. And, you know, we start seeing romantic comedies coming out in theaters, and they can be a nice bit of entertainment. But some single people, and I'm never including my single self back in the day in this category, Mark, might need to guard against some things with rom-coms when it comes to expectation for their love, for love in their own lives. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, let me ask you this. Do you have a favorite rom-com?
Oh, gosh. I didn't think about you asking me this.
I knew it. I was going to surprise you with it.
Oh, man. Gosh, I don't know. You've Got Mail, maybe? Going back to that, or When Harry Met Sally is a good one. Meg Ryan is, you know, great in rom-coms.
She was kind of the queen of rom-coms, wasn't she? just absolutely. And When Harry Met Sally would probably be mine. But you're right. I mean, this is the time of year when we break out the rom-coms and we watch them. And, you know, they're good, easy, snackable sort of stories that mm-hmm. Can be a lot of fun to watch. But, you know, like so many things, especially that we pull from the secular world, there's a little bit of insidiousness in them. And I don't want to sit here and villainize them or demonize them necessarily on their own. Just encourage people to be careful when watching these. Because I think we can get fascinated with the nice, tight storyline that you get in every romantic comedy where you know that the characters are going to resolve their issues and, quote-unquote, find that one that was destined for them mm-hmm. within 90 minutes or less, regardless of what circumstances are thrown their way. You know, from a Catholic perspective, this idea of that one for you, the one who's meant to be, it confuses this really important mindset that we're supposed to have, and that is understanding that life is a journey towards a destination. It's not it's not the journey itself that's the destination, mm-hmm. right? So I would imagine some of the listeners right now are in their cars traveling somewhere. You didn't wake up this morning saying, I got to get in my car. And he said, you got this one. I said, I got to get to work or to mass or to wherever you're going. The car is the vehicle there. What rom-coms often do is they set up the journey as the destination itself, as if saying, and this is where so many singles, and we see this on Catholic singles a lot as well, so many singles are waiting for their lives to begin, as it were, yeah. Right? That's sort of the mentality they have. I can't wait to meet that person. Pray that I meet the person so that my life can begin. Well, that's wrong. That's not the right mindset. The person that God, if he's calling you to marriage, the person that God is going to put in your life is there for that journey, for the actual destination. And I don't want to, I don't know the right word for it. I don't want to simplify things needlessly here. But if we want to force what is life all about into the romantic comedy sort of bent, you know, the actual one that we are destined to be with, the one for us is God.
Yeah, and we've talked about this many times before, Mark, about the role of our free will in all of this, that we still have to choose a person to be our spouse. But there's kind of a fine line that we have to walk as Catholics, isn't there? Because there's this idea that, you know, God ordains things. God has a will for our lives. But it's really not the same idea that this meant-to-be mentality that shows up in rom-coms. And really, I mean, a lot of competing dating sites with yours and other industries in this whole love genre.
Yeah, absolutely. And St. Teresa of Avila has a quote, and that is, are you where you're meant to be right now? Right? Are you where God wants you to be right now? Are you doing what God wants you to be doing right now? And I think that's something for us to always have in mind, that you're right. Love is, there's a choice and a free will aspect. You're not necessarily destined for one person where fate's bringing you together and then God's saying, there you go, that's the penultimate of life. No, everything here is about going towards God eventually. And so when you're single, in that single state of life, you're not waiting for God to put in that place where all of a sudden you're set for life and that is the goal. You're still on the same journey that everyone else is in, and the Lord is putting you into a position of singleness at this moment for a purpose. Everything is always for a purpose, and we need to constantly be asking God, am I where you want me to be right now? And then accept, where am I right now, and can I trust God for putting me where I'm supposed to be right now? And how am I using this moment to come closer to him?
How can I act in such a way that I believe that I am meant to be here right now?
Yes, thank you. You said it better than I did. It's all about this drive towards God. So I think Valentine's Day, it's a religious holiday, obviously, a great feast of the church that's been completely secularized. Most people have taken away Saint from St. Valentine's Day. Here, I'll just encourage everybody, first, you know, learn the story of St. Valentine a little bit and go back and let's actually pray to him this St. Valentine's Day. And then second of all, let's throw away this kind of cotton candy version of love that we see in romantic comedies. Look, I love them. When Harry Met Sally is one of my favorite movies, I enjoy them. But reject the cotton candy version of love that they have there. And let's actually choose this authentic love that our church offers and that Christ offers us.
Because honestly, if we have the mentality that you and I are talking about, the one that St. Teresa said, may you trust God that you are exactly where you are meant to be. If you're living your life in that way, wouldn't you think that that's much more attractive to the kind of person that you want to attract?
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. Look, there's a very clear difference when you're looking at people that are out there online, you know, wanting to find somebody as their spouse and hoping that God will put somebody in their life as their spouse. There's a big difference between the person out there that obviously has as a goal just marriage in and of itself for its own sake and that person who is really just a lover of Christ mm-hmm. and wants to meet somebody who can share in that journey as a lover of Christ. That's much more attractive. Somebody who has that end goal properly set up in mind. And, you know, for myself, I thank God every day that I've been blessed with a wife who has that as her end goal. Mm-hmm. Because we're journeying together. And when she's down, I can try and pick her up. And when I'm down, she must definitely picks me up and pushes me and puts me back on track. Yep. Well, that's what marriage is supposed to be about.
Yep. You definitely want to marry someone who wants to get to heaven and wants to help someone else get to heaven as well. Thank you so much, Mark Doust. CatholicSingles.com is linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. If you go to CatholicSingles.com/sunrise, you can get a little bit of a discount on a membership and help support the Sunrise Morning Show at the same time. So on this Valentine's Day, perhaps that's something you want to do. Let's take a look at weather across the nation now. Low pressure moving across the upper Mississippi Valley will bring snow and wintry mix to those from the Dakotas through the upper Great Lakes today. But a good portion of the U.S. will have a quiet Valentine's Day. Those in the southern plains through the southeast will see highs into the 60s and 70s with 80s across Texas. The central plains through the mid-Atlantic will have a cooler day in the 40s and 50s, while the Ohio Valley and northeast stay in the 30s and 40s. A few lake effect snow showers can't be ruled out across the interior northeast today. And flash flooding and reduced visibility are possibilities as rain and mountain snow are expected from the southwest through the Pacific Northwest and northern Rockies on your Thursday. 16 past now on the Sunrise Morning Show. We're back with headlines right after this. Stick around.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from J.J. White Incorporated, the single source multi-trade contractor for your next construction project. Since 1920, J.J. White Incorporated has been constructing with knowledge and providing service with integrity and safety. From heavy industrial to commercial projects, J.J. White does it all. With offices in Philadelphia, South Bend, Whiting, Newcastle, and Boston, you can count on excellent construction service and quality. J.J. White Incorporated, 215-722-1000, and online at jjwhiteinc.com.
More and more people are shopping at Amazon for their regular everyday items like paper towels, garbage bags, diapers, toilet paper, office supplies, and even groceries.
No matter what you plan to buy, don't forget to go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click the Amazon link, because a portion of every purchase price comes back to support us on the show.
Skip the line by going online and help the Sunrise Morning Show at the same time.
Don't forget, head to sonrisemorningshow.com and click the Amazon link.
That's sunrisemorningshow.com. Click Amazon.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. For more information, 844-313-4999, 844-313-4999, or online at solidarityhealthshare.org, solidarityhealthshare.org.
If you're currently an EWTN media missionary or just interested in becoming one, we've got some great news. EWTN Media Missionaries has a new and improved website. EWTNmissionaries.com, designed with you in mind. Our new site is loaded with great features and it's easy to navigate. There are so many different ways that you can help EWTN. Join us in sharing the eternal word with the world. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today.
18 minutes past the hour, here's Anna Mitchell with headlines.
The House or Senate could vote today on the big budget deal that aims to avert another partial government shutdown at the end of the week. Pope Francis today has appointed Cardinal Kevin Farrell as the Camerlengo of the Holy Roman Church. And Pope Francis continued his catechesis on the Our Father during his general audience yesterday, saying that true prayer is found in the depths of a heart visible only to God.
Full newscast coming up at half past the hour. And Anna Mitchell, as you know, today is the feast of Saints Cyril and Methodius. Mm-hmm. They were brothers.
Brothers.
And they were priests. They were missionaries to the Slavic people. And they developed an alphabet for the Slavonic language that eventually became what is known today as Cyrillic.
Cyrillic. Mm-hmm.
Which I'm sure Methodius is like, why didn't they call it Methodiac?
I know. I was going to say, why didn't they come up with some kind of portmanteau for their names?
I don't know how you make a portmanteau out of Cyril and Methodius.
Methocyrillic.
Methocyrillic.
I don't know.
That sounds like an affliction of some kind. but at any rate, so if you've ever seen Slavic alphabet stuff, you can credit that to Cyril and Methodius.
Pretty neat.
So pray for us. That being said, as we all know, the secular world is more tied to the old calendar
Yes, I had a friend who texted me yesterday saying that if you celebrate St. Valentine's Day,
you're a traditionalist.
You're a traditionalist who hates Vatican II.
Which I'm sure that's what was going on at Hallmark this year. Is they're like, yep, let's show our allegiance to the Council of Trent yet again.
Everyone,
and a rejection of the Second Vatican Council by putting out candy hearts.
Actually, not candy hearts this year, because candy hearts are out. They're
out.
Everyone needs to go to a traditional Latin mass today to celebrate the feast of St. Valentine.
I'm making that proclamation today.
Everyone, find a traditional Latin mass.
On Anna Mitchell's authority.
And attend on this St. Valentine's Day so that you're actually celebrating his feast day on the old calendar.
There you have it.
St. Valentine. Pray for us.
It's 21 past. Support for Sacred Heart Radio is from Ken Herbert Plumbing. Ken Herbert Plumbing, a drain cleaning specialist, uses color drain cameras to help find and fix drainage issues. Ken Herbert Plumbing, for residential and commercial plumbing repair. 513-383-2974.
Support for Sacred Heart Radio is from Lefke Tree Experts. For residential or commercial tree pruning and removal, brush clearing, storm cleanup, and more, Lefke Tree Experts. 513-325-1783. 513-325-1783.
Catholics in the Cincinnati area are blessed to have beautiful cemeteries, managed by the Cincinnati Catholic Cemetery Society for the past 175 years. St. Mary Cemetery in St. Bernard and St. Joseph Cemetery in Price Hill offer funeral planning trust, zero financing for pre-planning, as well as their free cremation burial option. And the Cincinnati Catholic Cemetery Society can assure you they will maintain and promote our core Catholic values for another 175 years. Find out more at cccsohio.org.
I'm Father Rob Jack. Join me this afternoon for Driving Home the Faith, when David Cooley of The Messenger will give us the news from the Diocese of Covington. Ohio Representative Candace Keller will tell us about the heartbeat bill she reintroduced into the legislature. I'll conclude my reflection on Cardinal Mueller's Manifesto of Faith, plus news, traffic, and weather. That's this afternoon beginning at 4 on Sacred Heart Radio.
You're on the road to Christ the King. Driving home the faith.
Support for Sacred Heart Radio is from American Board Certified Orthodontist Dr. David Quast. Dr. David Quast's goal is to create not only beautiful smiles, but also great-looking faces. Dr. Quast combines the latest in digital technologies with a unique diagnostic approach that focuses on the harmonious alignment of the face, teeth, and jaws. Whether it's fixed braces, Invisalign, adults, or children, it's Quast Orthodontics in Crestview Hills, Kentucky. For a complimentary exam, 859-341-9400 or QuastOrthodontics.com to see beautiful smiles and faces. 23 minutes past the hour on the Sunrise Morning Show. We're joined now by Dr. Matthew Bunsen, whose work you can find a number of places, including the National Catholic Register, ncregister.com. Dr. Bunsen, good morning.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
So when the news came down of John Henry Newman's second miracle, I was very excited because I have a lot of personal affection for Newman. But when I also heard that Cardinal Menzenti, there'd been movement on his cause, some bells went off, because I remember how I found out who Cardinal Menzenti was. It was about a decade ago. I was working on the Sunrise Morning Show and calling your house for an interview, and your mother picked up the phone, and we got talking about something or other, and somehow or another, Cardinal Menzenti came up, and we got going on the Cardinal. You and your family are the reason I even know about this guy.
Well, I remember the fact that you would usually call looking for me for an interview, and you were secretly hoping that my mom would answer the phone.
Always.
Yeah,
no offense,
back in the day.
But always.
It was always worth a call. In this case, especially because I actually had the great privilege of meeting Cardinal Menzenti, I think in 1974, not too long before his death. And the banner headline of the Honolulu papers said it all. It said, "A freedom fighter arrives in Hawaii." And when we say that he was a freedom fighter, what we mean by that is that he was somebody who truly fought for the defense of the human person in the face of communism, in the face of National Socialism, in the face of the great threats to the human person of the 20th century. In Hungary, he was one of those great figures and martyrs for the faith.
Yeah, just about any kind of political scourge that hit Europe in the 20th century. Cardinal Menzenti found himself on the wrong side of it at some point.
He did. He was ordained a priest, I think, in 1915, and immediately got himself into trouble with both the National Socialists and the Communists. Now, let's remember that that was an era in which communism and National Socialism were at each other's throats for decades. And Menzenti stood firm against both of them, encouraging his faithful, his flock, not to vote for them, not to support them, and not to surrender to the ideologies of atheism and hate that both of them represented.
Now, let's remember also that both of those ideologies that were at each other's throats were also not big fans of the church. So as he's rising in the ranks of the church, you know, as a bishop, archbishop, and cardinal, I mean, when he was made a cardinal, it was pretty well known that this was drawing a big red target on him.
That's right. It is said that when Pope Pius XII appointed him the major archbishop, the great, what was known as the prince prelate, in Hungary, and then made him a cardinal in 1946, he warned him that he would be of that group of the 30-some cardinals, that he would likely be the first to encounter martyrdom. And that's exactly what happened. With the defeat of Nazism and then the takeover of Hungary by the Soviet Union and then the installation of a puppet communist regime, which was happening all across Eastern Europe, the church was immediately targeted. And Menzenti was seen as the great figure, the towering figure of the church in Hungary. So it fell to him to be attacked, to be arrested, and to put on trial after a long, long, and horrifying period of torture. So the words of Pope Pius XII became not just prophetic, but I think really showed for Menzenti the path of the cross that he was being asked to carry, and he did it with remarkable courage.
So then, you know, there are so many priests and even bishops who were victims of those regimes, and we don't learn their names until a lot later. But Cardinal Menzenti, I mean, his trial, his persecution was fairly public and fairly internationally known.
It was. We had presidents of the United States, Winston Churchill, condemned the trial. We had Cardinal Spellman in New York. We had, I think, President Truman. All of them were aware of what was happening behind the great wall of the Soviet Union that had descended, or as Churchill put it, the Iron Curtain that had descended upon Eastern Europe. The Soviets and their puppets wanted to make an example of Menzenti to break the will of the church if they could. And they failed. We had Menzenti's release in 1956 as a result of the Hungarian uprising. And when that was put down so brutally by the Soviet Union, it was a demonstration to the world. It helped tear away the mask, the facade that we had in so many different forms of media, especially in the West. The truth was that the Soviet Union and its puppets were brutal, atheistic, and inhuman. And so the claims against Menzenti that were made in the trial, everyone knew to be false. But by 1956, when he was released and then had to flee to the U.S. Embassy and had to stay there for quite a number of years, the world knew once again that the propaganda that they were hearing was simply untrue, and that this man truly was a martyr.
And now, of course, you met him at the very end of his life. And I have a picture here that I'm going to try and post on our Facebook page so people can see it, of a very young Matthew Bunsen meeting Cardinal Menzenti just before Menzenti's death. Can you talk at all about that encounter and what you recall from it?
I can. Well, as a little kid, I knew that Menzenti was a great man. Certainly that was something that was very clear even as a child. He had some remarkable things to say to my late brother, who, as we've, I think, even talked on the air and elsewhere, had the cross of Huntington's disease, the same disease that killed my dad. And Cardinal Menzenti seemed to know that long before anyone else did. And it was one of those little moments that you file away and you look back on and you realize the significance of it. But he also stressed the role of St. Stephen, King of Hungary, in the life of my brother, who was Stephen Mark Bunsen. But to be able to see someone great like that, who stood with such courage, is something that you really do take with you. I had the privilege also, as we've talked, of meeting Fulton J. Sheen and Patrick Peyton. So I always say that I'm living proof that proximity to holiness is no guarantee of your own.
Yeah, well, I remember your mother telling me the story of especially Cardinal Mazzinti's words to your brother and just getting chills at that, and just the identification with the cross that Mazzinti had in such a public suffering. So thank you for sharing more about him. I very much encourage people to, if you don't know much about Cardinal Mazzinti other than this conversation, go dig him up, because he's pretty amazing. In the meantime, we've got ncregister.com linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Thanks so much, Dr. Bunsen. Have a great day.
You too. Great to be with you.
All right, half past. Here's Anna Mitchell with news.
Good morning. The House or Senate could vote today on a big budget deal that aims to avert another partial government shutdown at the end of the week. Terry Moore reports.
Congressional negotiators have been working frantically to put the bipartisan compromise into legislation, and President Trump wants to see the details.
We'll be looking for landmines, because you could have that. It's been known to happen before.
The deal gives Trump much less than he has been demanding for a massive border wall. In a White House photo op, Trump sidestepped questions about whether he will sign the legislation.
I don't want to see a shutdown.
Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
But as with all compromises, I say to people, support the bill for what is in it. Don't judge it for what is not in it.
On Capitol Hill, I'm Terry Moore.
President Trump will give a speech in Miami Monday about Venezuela. Trump is expected to voice his support for Venezuela's National Assembly President Juan Guaido, who the U.S. considers to be the country's legitimate president. A White House official says Trump will talk about Venezuela and the dangers of socialism at Florida International University in Miami. The Senate is expected to vote on a bill to withdraw U.S. military forces from Yemen. Mark Mayfield reports.
The House approved the War Powers Resolution yesterday on a 248-177 vote, mostly along party lines. The resolution would require President Trump to withdraw military support from the Saudi-led coalition fighting Iran-backed rebels in Yemen. The White House has threatened to veto the measure, saying it would harm bilateral relationships. Democrats made a vote on the war in Yemen a top priority upon taking control of the House. Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
Today, Pope Francis has appointed Cardinal Kevin Farrell as the Camerlengo of the Holy Roman Church. Cardinal Farrell, who is the prefect of the Congregation for Laity, Family, and Life and the former Bishop of Dallas, takes over the vacancy left when Cardinal Jean-Louis Taron died back in July. The Camerlengo is the official who takes charge of church finances and property after a pope dies. Pope Francis continued his catechesis on the Our Father during his general audience yesterday, calling it a silent dialogue. From Vatican Radio, Lydia O'Kane reports.
The Pope commented that in this way, the Christian does not forget the world, but rather brings its people and its needs into prayer. He continued by saying that the person who prays tells God about the pain of someone he or she met that day. If you don't realize that there's so many people who suffer, the pontiff underlined, then that means that one's heart is withered. Feeling compassion is one of the key verbs of the gospel. Let us ask ourselves, said the Pope, when I pray, do I open myself to the cry of so many people near and far, or do I think of prayer as some kind of anesthesia so you can relax? He stressed that Jesus doesn't want hypocrisy.
No, Jesus non vuole ipocrisia.
True prayer is that which is accomplished in the secret of conscience of the heart, inscrutable, visible only to God. It avoids falsehood. With God, it is impossible to pretend. Before God, he said, tricks have no power.
Davanti a Dio, non c'è trucco.
Pope Francis noted that in the Our Father, there is the absence of the word I. Jesus, he explained, teaches us instead to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. The second half of the prayer then moves from your to our. Give us our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses. This use of the plural, he added, shows us that Christian prayer never asks bread for just one person, but always on behalf of others. There is no room for individualism in dialogue with God, he said. Jesus makes us pray, the Pope emphasized, even for those who apparently do not seek God, because God seeks these people more than anyone else. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
That's the news. It's now 35 minutes past the hour.
The Sunrise Morning Show.
Schneller Heating, Air, and Plumbing is a proud supporter of Sacred Heart Radio. For repair, replacement, or maintenance of your home heating system, stay warm and comfortable during the coldest days this winter with Schneller. On the web at schnellerair.com.
Support for Sacred Heart Radio is from Molly Maid of Westchester. Insured, screened, and drug-free employees deliver service with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. 1-800-MOLLYMAID or at mollymaid.com. Molly Maid, a clean you can trust.
Sacred Heart Radio family, with Lent in sight, it is the perfect time of year to ask those close to you to start the Sacred Heart Radio 7-Day Challenge by locking either 7:40 a.m., 9:10 a.m., or 89.5 FM on one of their car radio presets and listening for 7 straight days. So with Lent in sight and while it's still too cold to do anything outside, ask everyone you know to start the Sacred Heart Radio 7-Day Challenge today.
It's 24 minutes before the hour on this Thursday, February the 14th, and your forecast is brought to you on Sacred Heart Catholic Radio by SchnellerAir.com. Bit of a warmer Valentine's Day on tap today. It's chilly right now, though, with temperatures in the mid to lower 30s as you're heading out the door. For Cincinnati, mostly cloudy skies today with a high of 51 degrees. Chance of rain tonight, could be a slight chance for a wintry mix in the overnight hours with a low of 35. Partly sunny tomorrow with rain later in the day, possibly leading to snow into Saturday with a high tomorrow of 50 degrees. For the Miami Valley-Dayton area, mix of clouds and sun today, a high of 50. Cloudy and chilly tonight with a slight chance of some showers and an overnight low of 33. Slight chance of some early morning sprinkles or flurries, then partly sunny with a high of 38 for your Friday. This is Sacred Heart Catholic Radio. It's 37 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you enjoy listening to us, if you could consider making a donation to the Sunrise Morning Show, we'd really appreciate it. You can go to sonrisemorningshow.com and click on Donate. Joining us now on the Sunrise Morning Show is Liz Lev, the art historian, guide to Rome and Paris, author of How Catholic Art Saved the Faith, The Triumph of Beauty and Truth in Counter-Reformation Art. Liz, welcome back.
Hello from a beautiful, sunny Rome, although I think you guys don't want to hear that on that side of the pond.
No, yeah, this is not the kind of time for you to bring up such things, Liz. But I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you this time. Just don't let it happen again. Well, Liz, we're going to be talking about Saints Peter and Paul today. You know, we as Catholics turn to the words of Jesus in citing the basis of the office of the papacy. When Jesus said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." The Pope, of course, is called the successor of Peter. Now, how did Martin Luther and other Protestant leaders seek to undermine this?
This is one of the most important challenges that the Protestant Reformation really brings to the table when they begin to challenge this over-millennial age authority of the primacy in the See of Peter, which is Rome, and the idea that there is a consistent and legitimate succession of the magisterium from Peter all the way down to the present popes, including, in our case today, Pope Francis. So the fact is the Protestants begin to start out with simply saying, you know, this is really a human institution. Jesus may have said, you are Peter on this rock, I will build my church, but the idea of there being this centralized government with this king at the head who decides everything, that's something that human beings created. And that's the early kind of mild discussion on the part of Luther. By the time you get to the mid-16th century, you find documents saying things, you know, on the papacy in Rome, which was instituted by the devil. You have these incredible comic books called the Popsbills, which are just satiric, very, very rude images of people disrespecting the Pope. So really, the primacy of Peter, the authority of Peter, is seriously undermined, not only in argument, but also in the arts.
And how has the church, through the centuries, linked St. Peter with St. Paul, and how did the Protestant revolt seek to undermine that as well?
Well, one of the most beautiful things, and when you come to Rome, one of the most beautiful things is to be standing here in the Roman Forum, and realize that the two men who challenged this brand new empire, this brand spanking new idea that human beings could become gods and that the state was your master and everything else took second place, these two guys, Peter and Paul, challenged them only to be executed, martyred on the same day, which is June 29th. Which in Rome has unbelievable significance, because if they died on the same day, that means they were born in heaven on the same day. It made Peter and Paul twins. And the really beautiful thing is that since Rome is founded by twins Romulus and Remus, this is a perfect pairing for a Christian Rome. But when the Protestants come along, they claim Paul and they denigrate Peter, so the twins get separated. And so this separation of these two figures that have always been linked together have to work to link them back as twins.
And so then Catholic Church leaders turn once again to art to restore that very relationship. So first of all, Liz, tell us the story of Michelangelo and the Pauline Chapel.
Well, there's a part of that story that I think is kind of sort of sweet in a almost action film kind of way, because you have Lucas Cranach the Elder, the best man at Martin Luther's wedding, who's producing all of these images called the Christ and the Antichrist. So images of Jesus and images of how the Pope is just a travesty of everything that Jesus was. And they're woodcuts that get sent all over the world, like little comic books. So who does the church bring in? Michelangelo Buonarroti, who is now in the super artist, and he paints in the Pauline Chapel these enormous wall murals showing the death of St. Peter, and for the first time in the history of art, it's paired with the conversion of Saul. So not the death of St. Peter and the death of St. Paul on the same day bringing out the twins, but the death of Peter, the witness of Peter that happened a stone's throw from where that chapel is built, and this transformation of Saul, who realizes he's down the wrong path, encounters Christ, and becomes the doctor to the Gentiles. So literally all of them.
Liz, you're starting to break up, so maybe you can kind of adjust where you're standing, and hopefully we can get a good signal to continue this incredible story with Michelangelo, because I want to know, you know, the setting where these frescoes are. I mean, how does that bring out even greater meaning from the stories that Michelangelo portrayed?
Well, the frescoes are set. I'm in the heart of Rome right now with an ambulance right by me. Welcome to the Theater of Rome. The frescoes are set in something called the Pauline Chapel, which visitors to Rome may not know that the wooden doors at the back of the Sistine Chapel open out into another room, and to the right is the room called the Pauline Chapel. And the Pauline Chapel has been used for several conclaves. It was actually constructed also for conclaves. So when the cardinals walk into that room and Michelangelo's enormous image of St. Peter being crucified upside down is flanking the wall on the right-hand side, what does the Pope see? He sees Peter. The cardinals see Peter, who's looking up from the cross, and he engages the viewer all the way into the room. And then when the new Pope is elected and he's brought out of the room, Peter's eyes follow him as he steps out into the room. So it was really a very, very powerful way of alluding to the Pope's job description. This is what you're expected to do if you follow in the footsteps of Peter.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, especially considering, you know, the Last Judgment in the Sistine Chapel, and we've talked about the significance of the cardinals looking at that when they make their votes. But we got to move on to this. So Caravaggio was commissioned later, after Michelangelo, for these exact same images in a rather interesting venue, which I want to hear about, considering the commission that he received here. How did he handle these images?
So what has to be the most difficult sort of debut, welcome to Rome type of commission, Caravaggio was asked to do the exact same subject matter in a church called Santa Maria del Popolo. And your listeners, if they've been to Rome, know that that is the first church inside the northern gate of the Flaminian Gate, so that every visitor coming to Rome, about 80% of the visitors, the first thing that they would go to was this church. But what's more, that church is an Augustinian church, which means that Martin Luther, when he spent time in Rome in the early 16th century, where did he live? Where did he preach? In that church. So they ask Caravaggio, who has to, one, compete with the legacy of Michelangelo, and in a certain sense, exorcise the memory of Martin Luther by painting these two side images, these two side paintings of the death of St. Peter and the conversion of Saul.
And what, I mean, how did he do it differently from Michelangelo?
So if you see the way Michelangelo chooses to organize his painting, it's 25 figures. It's people everywhere moving, churning, action. Caravaggio takes everything that's not essential out of the painting. So in the Crucifixion of St. Peter, there are four figures. St. Peter and the three people crucifying him. The three people who are working at the crucifixion, you can't see their faces. You just see bright colors which make up their body parts. So a mustard-colored rear end, a red shoulder, a green back. These people are just cogs in a machine without thinking what they're doing. They're just mechanical. But in the midst, this incredibly beautiful, mysterious light, which is a signature of Caravaggio, plays across the body and illuminates Peter. Peter is working too, but Peter knows exactly what he's doing and why he's doing it. So he stares at the nail in his hand, and Peter's job is to stay on that cross and go the distance. Your pilgrim sees the image of the death of St. Peter, and he knows, she knows, it's just a stone's throw from the place where that great rock is buried under the Church of St. Peter's.
And then with the conversion of Saul, in Michelangelo's version, you see Jesus essentially striking him, almost like with a lightning bolt. You don't see Jesus in this version from Caravaggio.
Caravaggio's version of St. Paul underwent a tremendous transformation. The first version, he tried to do like Michelangelo, with visible Jesus, lots of figures. Then he realized, why copy Michelangelo? Let's try this a new way. And he gives you, again, only three figures, a big horse, the horse's handler, and Saul lying on the ground with his arms outstretched and open towards the heavens. And instead of showing Jesus, Caravaggio chose to show this incredible light, a beam of light that literally takes the place of Jesus' person, comes into the arms of Saul, whose arms are open. He welcomes this change. We come into that church and witness Saul as he sees the light. It makes conversion intimate and private.
It's so incredible. And we've been talking to Liz Lev. The book is called How Catholic Art Saved the Faith. It's linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Liz, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And enjoy that weather for me.
I most certainly will.
Send a picture. All right, it's 13 till now on the Sunrise Morning Show. Our Catholic counselor, Kevin Prendergast, joins us next.
Central Fabricators is proud to support the Sunrise Morning Show and encourages other Catholic business owners to do the same. Central Fabricators knows that the Sunrise Morning Show is where you'll get the news from the Catholic perspective while keeping you up to date on what's happening in the Vatican as well. It's also a great way to keep in touch with the Catholic faith throughout the week. Central Fabricators, based in Cincinnati, Ohio, has been in business for more than 70 years. On the web at centralfabricators.com. That's centralfabricators.com.
As a Catholic, you've always wanted to be married and have a family of your own. But where do you start to find someone who shares your values? Since 1997, Catholics have turned to Catholic Singles to help find their perfect match. In four quick steps, you can immerse yourself in an authentic Catholic environment to meet other Catholic Singles. Kevin and Alexandra are now happily married. So don't be shy. Let Catholic Singles help you find the perfect match. Proud to support the Sunrise Morning Show on the web at catholicsingles.com/sunrise.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 855-25-SHARE. That's 855-25-SHARE, 855-25-SHARE.
I'm Matt Swaim, grateful that Visiting Angels underwrites the Sunrise Morning Show. People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home rather than a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. And services are provided up to 24 hours per day with caregiver selection before service begins. Visiting Angels. Online at visitingangels.com. That's visitingangels.com.
EWTN. Communicating the faith.
The best way to practice not really being able to fully celebrate in other people's successes is to go to what you're grateful for in your own life. So when someone next to you is having a great success, you immediately go to, Lord, I'm so grateful. I have my health. Well, I have my husband. I'm grateful. I have a roof over my head. And all of a sudden, everything becomes just perfect.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Anna Mitchell, very briefly, I want to let you know that if you go to my Twitter feed, I just tweeted out a string of theological Valentines.
Oh. I can't wait.
To give you
I'm
a little
heading to Twitter as we speak.
A little tease. I've got one with Dwight from The Office. And it says at the top, of course you didn't fall from heaven. If you fell from heaven, that would make you Lucifer.
That's good. I like that, Matt.
I guess some theological Valentines if you
Hey, Valentine. Sorry this is late.
Late have I loved you.
I like it.
That's a St. Augustine Valentine. At any rate, my Twitter feed, at Matt Swain. Kevin Prendergast now joins us. And he is a pastoral counselor, licensed and on the faculty of the Athenaeum of Ohio. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, Matt. Great to be with you.
All right. Conflict resolution. This is a huge one for anybody in any kind of relationship, whether they've just started dating or whether they're in the engagement process or whether they've been married 2 weeks or 55 years. Why is this such a hard thing for people to figure out, even if they've been together for a really long time?
Yeah, so first, congratulations to all the couples that are working on their relationships and really trying and, you know, even if we fail, we get back up, right? So this is part of it that I think, you know, a lot of times people will come to marriage counseling and they say they want to work on communication, and it usually comes down to conflict resolution, that people don't have good skills in solving conflicts. And I think we get ourselves into trouble, and you know, psychology kind of converges with our Catholic faith about why that would be, is that, you know, we do tend to be selfish. We look at things from our point of view. So when people are in conflict, and we can see that certainly in our politics these days, we're not listening to each other. We're not really respecting the other person's position. And one of our big experts, Dr. John Gottman, says that there are always going to be conflicts. There's no couple who's not going to have some disagreements, hurt feelings. But some of the things are just going to keep coming up again and again. So for couples that have been together for a while, you know that this is the truth. You know, one way to think about it is that we don't just have one marriage, but maybe we have several marriages to the same person or several chapters. And if we look back, you know, am I still dealing with the things that were a problem in my personality back when I was 20, as now that I'm in my 60s. So I think that's true, that we get a little bit better, and we have to cut our spouse, our partner, a little bit of slack on that too, that we're going to have to keep coming back to these things and trying to understand one another. There are some things that get in the way, so the selfishness, but what I see is that people either have really bad ways of having conflicts, and so it escalates, it gets angry, people say abusive things to one another, and then generally they move on and they don't really deal with it. It's so unpleasant that let's just forget about it and move on and sweep it under the carpet. The other way is, you know, maybe to avoid conflict, but the problem there, that doesn't really solve anything either, that if there is an issue, and it could be a small thing, it could be about housework, it could be about parenting, it could be about being on time. I mean, there's all these little things that we get into. We argue about money, sex, just about everything. But if we go underground with it, then we've got these resentments. And, you know, maybe we pride ourselves, well, I'm not really angry. I don't blow up. I don't, you know, yell and throw things. But if I have that simmering, corrosive resentment, that will undermine a marriage. And that's what all the research says, is that we get to this place where we dislike our partner and we have contempt for our partner. Well, that comes out of a long period of building up one resentment after another. And so, especially with Lent coming, Matt, this is a time to think, you know, we need continual conversion and growth in our relationship. It's not once and forever. And, you know, I think a good place to start, you know, what I encourage couples to do is take a sheet of paper and draw a line down the middle and we can say, well, what's her fault and what's my fault? You know, put hers in her column and mine in mine. Well, the only thing that I can work on is my column, so I can work on my part. I can, you know, sometimes I'll, if one person comes in and they've got problems with their marriage, I'll say, what I want you to do next time we meet, I want you to go to your spouse and have that, them write down on an index card the things that bother them the most and that they want you to change. And if we do a little examination of conscience, that should pretty well pop up pretty quickly. So if I start there, that I'm willing to work on myself. But then sometimes we have to engage and be assertive and say, you know, this is really a problem for me, but it's how we bring it up. If we bring it up, I'm trying to listen, I'm trying to compromise, I'm trying to find a middle ground. And a lot of times we lose that because we're not really taking time to talk, and we need to have that friendship to remember that friendship is at the very foundation of marriage, and that, you know, how do I want to be treated when we have a disagreement? And then to realize that these things are going to probably keep coming back up. I can't change my personality. I can't change your personality. So if we're willing to commit to that process of continuing to dialogue, continuing to find that common ground, and this is where our Catholic faith would say, gosh, you know, many people have said marriage is impossible without grace, so we have to ask God to come in and help us to see where I need to change and where do we need to talk things through.
Yeah, and I know you work in a seminary, so you probably heard this. You know, that point of us reflecting on other people's problems and not our own, you know, priests who will occasionally come in and say, hey, you're not in here to confess your spouse's sins. You're here to confess yours.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, yeah.
All right, Kevin, thank you for your counsel this morning, and we'll talk to you again soon. Have a great day.
Thanks, Matt. Take care.
All right. It is about time to wrap up this Valentine's Day edition of the Sunrise Morning Show. We'll be back again tomorrow for our EWTN listening audience. In the meantime, a couple hours coming up. For those of you listening on the Sunrise Morning Show app, hit us with a note at sonrisemorningshow.com. I'm Matt Swaim. For all of our guests, may God bless you and keep you and grant you his peace.
Have you seen Sacred Heart Radio yard signs displayed at your parish? Well, then it's up to you to get those yard signs up, especially at the parking lot exits, so they'll see where to tune for Catholic Radio while driving out. We have yard signs for 7:40 a.m., 9:10 a.m., and 89.5 FM, and we'll send you all the yard signs you need. But it's up to you to make the first move by going to the new sacredheartradio.com and clicking on support to get Sacred Heart Radio yard signs sent to your door.
Support for Sacred Heart Radio is from Dr. Mark Bergman of Apex Eye. Dr. Bergman, rated one of Cincinnati Magazine's top ophthalmologists, has provided excellent eye care for the West Side for over 30 years. New patients are welcome. 513-661-3566. When you need a landscaper, plumber, dentist, lawyer, realtor, doctor, insurance, or a new car, go to sacredheartradio.com and find the complete Angels list of underwriters. Let them know where you heard them, Sacred Heart Radio, and why you chose them. They share your faith and values because they will never know how much impact Sacred Heart Radio has on their business unless you tell them. And if you know someone who should be on the Angels list, email me their contact info, Leah@sacredheartradio.com, and I'll take it from there.
Support for Sacred Heart Radio is from Life Legacy Services. Life Legacy Services helps you plan your future, live your life, and craft your legacy. They create your legacy message, an inspiring message of love, appreciation, and advice that you give to family and friends. Through the legacy message, you have the peace of mind knowing that no matter what happens to you, your final words of encouragement and your personal story will be heard in your own voice and remembered. Learn more at life-legacy.us. That's life-legacy.us.
Mary's Meals is a global movement taking place in many of the world's poorest communities where hunger and poverty can prevent children from gaining an education. Providing one daily meal in a place of learning gets chronically poor children into the classroom where the education they receive can be a ladder out of poverty. Less than $20 feeds one child for an entire school year. To find out more, Mary's MarysMealsUSA.org. That's MarysMealsUSA.org.
I am Father Terence Quinn, a Dominican from St. Gertrude's Parish, the Anima Christi. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within thy wounds, hide me. Suffer me not to be separated from thee. From the malicious enemy, defend me. In the hour of my death, call me and bid me come unto thee. The
with thy saints, I may praise thee forever and ever. Amen.
This is Father Michael Mary Dosh from St. Gertrude in Madeira. Thank you for listening to Sacred Heart Catholic Radio.
740 WNOP Newport, 89.5 WHSS Hamilton, 910 WPFB Middletown, and at sacredheartradio.com.
We continue on this Thursday, February 14th, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord is faithful to His promise of salvation. In hope we pray, Lord, fill the earth with Your love. For all those You have called to preach and teach Your word, sustain them in courage and zeal. For all those You have called to teach the illiterate to read, sustain them in patience and love. For all those You have called to provide Your church with texts for prayer, sustain them in faith and humility. For the Slavic peoples to whom You sent Saints Cyril and Methodius, sustain them in holiness, justice, and peace. O God of every nation, You sent Saints Cyril and Methodius to proclaim the good news of salvation to the Slavic nations. Through their intercession, preserve in faith those whom they and their heirs have instructed. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Saints Cyril and Methodius, pray for us.